Welcome, guys, to another episode of the My Life, Your Life Together podcast. It's Zach and Zach. And today we are joined by Jamie Sharla, who is in the wonderful, beautiful state of Texas. Shout out to my home state. And she is a fellow believer, just like us. And she is also a mindset transformation coach, a certified life coach, and a, neuro-linguistic programming practitioner. I had to look that up because I was like, what is an NLP practitioner?
My favorite thing is I usually do the intro. And before this episode, he's like, oh, you did the last few. Let me do this one. And then like I brought up your website and he started reading it. And he's like, what's this? This is a big words. And I was like, man, got out of this one real good.
He's like, I'm glad I let you do the intro. But some of your background, you said you've had your own experience and journey through mental health and with work-life balance and stuff like that. And so we're just excited to hear from you and learn about what you do and your life story. And so welcome. And where would you like to start? What do you want to share a little bit about yourself with us?
Perfect. First of all, I have to give massive kudos because you crushed that. And it's cool too, because a lot of people, like, NLP is also like a tech coding term too, mm-hmm. that like people get certified in that. And I'm like, yeah, that's definitely not me. So neuro-linguistic programming, the way that I like to say it, is pretty much like a tactical way to rewire the brain. My name is Jamie. Born and raised in a really, really small town in Ohio. I like to joke and say I'm a recovering Catholic, but very much on fire for Jesus.
Nice.
Blessed. Beautiful. And grateful to be here. Little bit about me. Working the work-life balance. Yes, that's part of the journey. And I mean, none of us make it through life without adversity anyways, but I have a very diverse resume, if you will, personally and professionally. So there's just a whole lot that I'm sure at some point will probably trickle in throughout this episode, that I've endured. Nonetheless, God was there the whole time. And I'm a big believer that we can only connect the dots looking backward. And so although I don't by any means think that God put me in those situations, because I am a very stubborn individual, so I took the scenic route many of times and learned, I tend to work harder, not smarter. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
So I learned a lot of lessons the hard way. But that very much equipped me to be where I am today and to be able to very much just help people experience more fulfillment in their life. It's not necessarily intentional, but it's pretty cool because I've even worked with people who are atheists and I've been able to bring them to Jesus. But again, just to help them with their own life and how they feel about themselves and the relationships around them. And sometimes in that journey, that's what it unfolds to. So that's kind of me in a nutshell.
Nice.
All right, well, that was a great episode.
Love to be back. Invite me back, please.
So you say you're a recovering Catholic. Yes. So you were raised in the Catholic Church. What point did that like switch? What was that like?
Yeah, so I'm very, very grateful for it nonetheless. But I grew up in this very small town where we had a population of like 1,000 people, not even a stoplight, like literally bring your tractor to school day.
I love it.
The perk of that is that, yes, there was like this ability to work hard for a dollar, and you have these good morals and values that you're raised upon, but also kind of this small town, small minded people. And then you're forced to follow religion, right? Which wasn't a bad thing, because God, at least again, was in my life from the day I was born. But my parents got divorced when I was 5. So at that point, anger and alcohol raised me. So it's like, here I am being forced to go to church on a Sunday to like be serious, because even like our CCD teachers were like, this is the house of the Lord and there's no laughing here. So it's like, scared, but I'm forced to be here, but then also supposed to believe in this thing of like heaven and following all of these rules to be a good person. But then behind closed doors, that is definitely not what my life was like.
Yeah.
6.2 5 days of the week, right? Like right. Yeah. Outside of that. And so, yeah, that just is kind of where that journey came. But then death is a big part of my life. So around the time my parents got divorced, my grandfather died of leukemia. There was even one time as a kindergartner, I couldn't even go to school because like the semi tipped over in front of our driveway and he's like bleeding out. And so I'm just like sitting in the window, like EMS is all in the way. So we can't get out of the driveway to get to school. And just even throughout that, again, more just like toxicity, emotional, verbal abuse, a couple of like physical abuse moments. And then again, just alcohol being the coping mechanism. Then in 8th grade, I lost an uncle to suicide. And it was literally the day after they increased the dosage to his antidepressants. And then that was at the same point I got put on antidepressants. And then fast forward to 16, two of my best friends died in a car accident on the same day. And so because it was a small town, two of the three churches that I attended, because the priest like was like all three of the parishes, if you will. I had to leave a funeral early to go get to the next one and listen to essentially the same homily given for two of my friends that died way too young. So now I'm angry at a God. And now the two places that I'm forced to go on a Sunday that I don't even really want to be at anyways, I'm hearing the same songs that were played at their funeral in a normal Sunday mass. And so at that point, that was kind of when my mom stopped forcing me to go to church because I'm like, yeah, this is a no for me. So that was kind of when I first ever initially like walked away. And then when I graduated high school, I kind of made my way back into it, but that was because I ended up getting into a very abusive relationship, with a man who is literally a mimic of what I had witnessed growing up, essentially. Right. And, I was like, well, if I'm going to marry you, we need to go to church. So now it was like me putting this rule on him and I wasn't taking out of church and I didn't have a relationship with God. But I went because that was the rule and that's what we had to do if we were ever going to get married. And then it was kind of in that where God was started working, where it's like over time I have more to my story, but I'm not going to bore with the details just now. But then I just kind of started like intertwining more of like YouTube videos of like non-denominational preaching and like got around people who were very God-driven and it was outside of the faith. And actually up until 2021, I was still going to a Catholic church. But I was just throughout the week, I was learning to read the Bible and actually develop a relationship over the religion. And then I had a mentor give me a book called The Ragamuffin Gospel, which forever changed my life, helped me understand grace. And that was kind of when the Catholic journey started dwindling.
Nice.
Okay. That's a lot.
I was after that download of life history.
Yeah.
I know Zach has questions, I'm sure. So I'm going to let him lead off.
So I was going to say, one, I've heard of the book, The Ragamuffin Gospel. I haven't read it, but I've heard of it and I've heard it's fantastic. So I'm curious, right? You were talking about what got you to church was this abusive relationship. Did that resolve itself through like church and faith, or did that end? How did that go with?
Yeah. it wasn't good. And especially at that point, like I was a very broken individual and so was he. I have no ill will towards him. Like it was just, we were young and just two people who were not meant to be together. Cause like full transparency, cause that's just who I am. There was even times that like I would drag him to church after we literally were getting wasted the night before. And like, I would get shoved down the stairs or we would be like pushing each other or whatever. And then like, I would still be wasted the next day as we would roll up to what I would call hangover mass. Cause it was at 11. And I literally had to leave before communion because I was throwing up in the church parking lot. Like it wasn't good, but I mean, hey, at least I guess I was there.
It's a part of the journey.
Okay, there we go.
Yeah.
But yeah, at that point, it ended. And God very much was protecting over that situation because luckily no marriage or kids ever came from that. In this journey, I attempted to kill myself on multiple occasions. One in particular, I like to go scuba diving. You guys cool scuba diving?
Go for it.
All right, we're taking it super deep now, right? As if that story wasn't already heavy. but it just feels right to share right now. So in that journey, and even at this moment, it actually still wasn't the point of ending the relationship. But there was a moment on New Year's Eve. I got insanely wasted super, super early. I was with him and his family at their New Year's Eve party. Don't even remember what happened, but I was acting a fool, apparently. And my dad was the one that randomly showed up to pick me up. And I did not have a good relationship. And here I'm like, dude, you're the reason why I'm with somebody like this. Like, I was well aware. So it was like raining. And I remember I threw myself out of the moving vehicle because I wanted to get away from my dad that bad. And somehow in heels ran a mile home down some back road to get to my mother's house. Mind you, my parents are divorced. So now I like run into my mom's house and my dad is trying to figure out how to get my mom's house because I'm obviously a mess. Locked myself in the bathroom, attempted to slit my wrist and it didn't work. And then I don't remember, like I blacked out. And the next thing I do remember is I wake up and I'm laying in my bed and I sounds like probably 20 or 21 at this point. And my mom like had me wrapped up in her arms. And at that point, like, so she's laying in my bed with me and I was bawling my eyes out and I was begging my mother to let me kill myself. And I was like, I won't do it unless you let me do it. And it wasn't until years later when I actually genuinely was going to church and being appreciative of that place with God. There was a priest that had a homily about it. And he's like, I want you to think about the darkest moment in your life. And I want you to picture where God was in that moment. And I'm like, hands down, like I was like, he was either in the corner of the room or he was literally the one hugging both of us together to make sure nothing happened. So God was there the whole time. I may not have been near him, but he was very near.
He was near
in
you
in those moments. So did that answer your question?
Yeah, that was fantastic.
Yeah, that's
one. And I always, anytime someone, you know, on our episodes opens up and is vulnerable like that, I want to thank you, one, for being willing to share that with us, to be able to walk through those experiences with us. Because I know that's, a lot of times that's not easy. So thank you for that. So how did you get from that place of, you know, wanting to end your life and in such a broken spot to where you're at now, walking in faith and walking as this life coach and stuff to be able to help other people?
Great question. So what's crazy is, and especially what ties into the whole work-life balance aspect. So despite drugs, alcohol, food, and unhealthy relationships being a big vice for me through that, I was a straight-A student. I did basketball, volleyball, cheerleading, track, softball, and was babysitting by the age of 11. So like I always kept myself busy doing all the things. And because of the environment I grew up with, like I'm still also grateful for it, despite how maybe unfortunate it was, because like I function well in chaos. It was the quiet that gave me anxiety because I'm like, I can't control and I have no idea what's about to happen. But when it's chaos, then I at least know how to assess the situation, right? So in that, I did have a lot of positive habits of things that I was working on, right? Like just on a day-to-day basis, like since 2013, I've been getting up at 4:03 in the morning. I would start my day with a motivational video. I was in the gym 2 hours a day, 7 days a week. I was volunteering, coaching special needs cheer. And I was the sports director of Ohio and I launched it as an Olympic sport for the state of Ohio. I was doing hearing deaf people. I was volunteering as a facilitator for grieving kids due to death of a loved one. Like I was doing a lot of positive things that also was like helping me do that. But the biggest blessing I would have to say is that I got sucked into a network marketing company. I'm not doing it anymore. Don't worry. I'm not going to sell you on financial freedom or tell you about a product that's going to make you feel awesome. but what that company did bring me was the gift of a lot of positive individuals who were faith-based and were really into personal development. So that's kind of where that journey started, where I was like really much like starting to work on me and really seeing life as it happened for me, not to me. And when that started to change, then that's obviously where I started to change. And I started like feeding myself more positive brain food, if you will. And then that's when God started really, really coming into my life. And actually, I was living in Connecticut at the time. And that was when I was like still very much going to a Catholic church. Moved here to Texas and was introduced to this church called Red Rocks Austin, which is non-denominational.
I feel like I've heard of them.
Red Rocks Worship. So Red Rocks is based out of Colorado, but Red Rocks Worship is probably a lot you hear when you listen to Christian music. But we have a campus here in Austin.
We do their songs, Zach. We do their songs.
Okay.
So good. I'm a fan. I drink the Kool-Aid hard, I'll be honest. But it was really cool because like I have no idea why I got brought to Texas. I literally was living in Connecticut by myself. Knew I didn't want to go back to Ohio because I love my family dearly, but I do better loving from a distance. And my coaching was virtual. So I was like, I can live wherever. So I literally was Googling best places for a single 30-year-old to live and go. I had never been to Texas. I didn't know anyone. I didn't know anything. I didn't even know that Austin was some thriving city. Always I cared, I like was on the phone with the dude to one of the apartments and I was looking at the website and I was like, awesome. How are the CrossFit gyms in the area? This fun fact, I'm addicted to CrossFit. I made it more than 5 minutes into the episode, so I'm allowed
I was going
to
say, we're at 24 minutes, almost 25, so you're allowed to stay on.
Yeah, nice. Exactly. Well done. But yeah, and so he was like, ma'am, I don't know. I'm like, no worries, I'll figure it out. I'm like, is it safe? And he's like, I think so. I was like, cool, save me the lease. So I gave away everything that didn't fit in my car, and 3 weeks later, just showed up to Texas. This church pops into my life. I ended up getting rebaptized. I was captain of the greeting team. I do got behind bars. And so it's just like, I think
that's
a
awesome
combination of me willing to draw near to him. But I think God was continuing to work and soften my heart too. And I just think it's because I always like, it makes me like, it's always interesting when people ask the question, like, what was the moment like when you gave your life, like you knew, like you just had to give your life to Jesus, or what was that moment? And I was like, for me, there wasn't this like dead set moment. It was just this like piece by piece. And then all of a sudden I was like, whoa, this is a really cool accumulation. And I love Jesus.
I feel like for people raised in a church, whether it's non-denominational church or, cause I was raised in non-denominational church or any church, like you grow up in church and you're always like kind of saved. You always kind of know. And then one day, you know, your own personal story and journey starts. Cause like people would ask me, I have friends who didn't grow up in the church and weren't Christian who have gotten saved. And like they have these amazing stories of how the Lord met them where they were at. And I was just like, that's awesome. They're like, what's yours? And I was like, I remember a moment that I was kind of like, I need to take it more seriously, but there wasn't this, you know, divine impartation of like, all right, I'm saved now.
There wasn't the radical, like, crossing the line shift.
And I've had this talk with a few people at our church where I almost think it's harder to define where your journey began as a Christian when you've grown up in it. Because for a while, for a while, because like I've always gone to church with my parents, and I mean they helped build a rather large church in the area here, and like I felt like I was riding their coattails of Christianity, if you will, and like I could get by on that. And then the older I got, and you know, started dating my now wife, and you know, we grew closer together and I grew more as a person. And it's just like, oh, I can't rely on my parents' faith to get me through my own issues anymore. Cause the older you get, the more issues you got. So yeah, I'm fully on board with people who are like, I don't have that one defining moment. Cause I don't think there needs to be a one defining moment.
It can also be incremental steps.
Yes. Yeah. Thanks for summing up my monologue.
Sorry. Go ahead.
I was just thanking him for summing up my monologue.
Oh, I love it. See, there you go. It's the cohesiveness for me.
Yeah.
I love it. There was I can't even remember the name. It was some big business guy who's Christian-based, and it was like a reel or something that I saw. And I loved the analogy that he gave on, like, with knowing God. And he's like, you know, there's so many people. And it made me think of it because the way you said it too, like if you're already like around it, like you don't know any different, but you don't understand the significance because it's just kind of always been there. Good. So it's like you take it for granted. And the way he described it though is so many people, like say with Michael Jordan, right? Like if they're like a big fan of him and they follow, they know every single stat, like they know all of this type of stuff. But then all of a sudden you sit down and like you start telling somebody that and you're like, okay, cool. But that's like knowing of him. But like, what's he like behind the scenes? Like you don't know him.
Right.
So it's like, you know, at surface level that like, just even so growing up in like whatever type of religion, you have the basis of like the stats in the Bible. Hey, I know he did this. I know Moses split the sea. You know, I know Noah built the ark, right? But it's like to develop an actual relationship, like, nah, but my God, like, and when you like have that intimate relationship, it's totally different. Like, so it's like you know of him, you've heard of him, but to experience him is something completely different. Time with him is completely different.
Exactly. The difference between knowledge and relationship.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is God Behind Bars prison ministry?
Yeah.
That you do? Okay. Yeah. That's awesome.
That is super
cool. Yeah. I know our church used to had somebody who spearheaded a prison ministry for a while. And I know there are a few people who still go to, like women from our church who go to like the female detention centers up here and do it, but we don't have like a defined prison ministry anymore. I've heard so many good stories about it because, like, it's tell us a little bit about that because that piqued my curiosity.
Yeah. So I love it. And it was and it's one of the first things like I asked a couple of the other volunteers. And don't get me wrong, like serving is serving, so like I wouldn't judge anybody for that. But like I asked, like, what made somebody want to do it? And a lot of them were like, oh, you know, I just want to I want to be able to make a bigger impact, right? Mm-hmm. So their hearts are in the right place, right? But when they asked me, and I'm like, dude, because that could have been me. I'm like, I was getting wasted. And at parties, me and my boyfriend were like literally like causing scenes all the time. I'm like, I could have like killed somebody driving home drunk, right? And then now I'm in prison, right? Like I was doing drugs at parties and stuff. And half the time I don't even remember what I was doing at night. So who knows what thing, you know?
Yeah.
And so it's like that easily could be me. But what I love about it is you know, a lot of people are like, you know, oh, is it scary or is it like, is it really heavy? Like, yeah, don't get me wrong. Some of the moments it's heavy. But I have never met a group of people who are more on fire for the Lord than they are. Because think
That's
about it.
Awesome.
They don't have the distraction of the world around them. Like, yes, they have like these, like they got to watch their backs and everything because of like clicks and stuff that are forming there, or like, you know, dealing with all of that. And, but like, they have so much time to just sit there and be in the Word. And so the majority of them, like half the time, it's like when we go in there, they know more about the gospel than what I do. And it's there's one woman in particular. She's amazing. And she's been there for over 30 plus years in prison. But every time I see her, and like the first time I got there, because like I have tattoos and stuff like that. And so we were talking about our tattoos. She's got one on her forearm that says blessed, but the ink, the filler of it is red. And she's like, that's for the blood of Jesus, but it's blessed on her forearm. And then up the both of her calves, it says highly on one and favored on the other. So if somebody asks her how she's doing, she's like, I'm blessed and highly favored, and just point.
That's awesome.
There's a couple of the ladies who were super into witchcraft. And that's kind of what, like, you know, got them into prison because of the type of stuff they were messing with and making bad decisions. And they're like, we found God in prison. And it's just, it's so powerful. And like, it's just, they're people too. And I always like to say this, like when people are like, oh, but I would be so scared. And I'm like, think about this. Hear me out. Yes, there are people who have literally like murdered multiple people in there. I get that. But I want you to put yourself in their shoes, right? Like, imagine you were somebody who literally either never even had anything, or maybe you did. You lose a job. You start drinking. Now you're drinking more and more, and this is causing a conflict in your relationships. Everybody leaves you. Now you don't have any money. You don't have anybody to support you. You're out on the streets. Like, these people don't choose to end up that way. Like, sometimes, like, one thing could cause you to make a terrible decision.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
just because they actually like maybe I'm also just blessed and protected enough to not have something that led to that catastrophic of a situation, right?
Yeah.
You lose a kid, or like you have a child that dies, and your relationship falls apart because of the blame of each other. And then now mm-hmm. you're on your own and you lose your job because you're so sad, right? Like anything could spiral to put you in a position. And then now you're like, I got to do what I have to do to put food on the table. Maybe I do need to sell drugs. Maybe I do need to protect my life because now it's being threatened because I'm in really bad neighborhoods. Like, you know, sorry.
Yeah.
Holy tangent, but.
Oh, no,
you're fine. I'm passionate.
I like that.
But that brought up something that, I mean, Zach probably has more experience on than I do, being a lard.
So I'm former law enforcement. I did 10 years of law enforcement before I moved up here. So I actually can really identify with what you're saying, because I was, you know, very close to that world on the law enforcement side. And I actually agree. There were a lot of people that I interacted with that would be like, why are you, because I got along very well with people while I was working in law enforcement. Like people, I was the nice cop that people liked to talk to. And a lot of that was because I feel like I had that same perspective is.
We treated them like human beings.
Right. And there's a lot of people, like any one of us is one bad choice away from being in that spot.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. like. And I would say this all the time is like, there are a small group of people out there that are like the legitimate, like, I think they're, you know, evil people that have made decisions to be an evil person. But most of the people that I interacted with were not evil people. They were people in a bad situation, making a bad decision on that day, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah. So I think that's awesome that you're doing the prison ministry and stuff. And
yeah, my sister, she's a nurse, and for a little bit she worked in a prison, and she refused to look at the part of their chart that would have said what they were in there for. She goes, I do not want to walk in and have that hinder how I'm about to treat them, because my job as a nurse is to go in and assess whatever is wrong, give medication, whatever, fix whatever's happening. Like, and I don't want to know that. And there was one situation where she did that. She walked out and the PO looked at her and was like, how'd it feel? And she's like, how did what feel? And he's like, to sit across the table from a triple murderer. And she goes, dude, he was so cool. Never in a million years would I have thought that. And don't get me wrong, sometimes too, and I'm sure you know this by being in law enforcement, they also know how to manipulate, right? Like that's a skill that is learned too. But like, it's funny. So in addition to all of the other stuff that I do, I also have like just an empowerment page with a friend of mine called Relentless Glory. And I made a post the other day where I was like, Christians, we need to do better. Because one of my favorite things to say is that like, if somebody chooses not to love God or to know God, that's on them. But if I'm the reason, that's on me. And whether somebody's evil or not, whether they have done wrong or not, like that is not for me to show up in a way that isn't loving and isn't kind. And so in that type of situation, like, don't get me wrong, like I can't fathom killing three people, but this is like, at least what I always try to like to do is that we always at some level have something in common with somebody. And when you do that, that's when you can establish a relationship and you can like create like care, love, and respect for somebody. So like as a starter, right? Like, hey, that's crazy. Like you kill people and you're really angry and you probably, you know, lived a completely different life as me, but I bet you like pizza or I bet you like dogs. And now all of a sudden you can start talking about your favorite kind of pizza or like your favorite memory about how you got your dog. And then now all of a sudden you can start to bond and then you create a safe space for one another. And then that's where healing can happen and that's where growth can happen. And it's just, I don't know. I think that's something that's important that we need to keep in mind, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I absolutely agree.
I mean, it's a simple concept that people, Christians specifically, for some reason lose track of is, you know, like a lot of people say all the time, oh, it's not our place to judge. But, you know, at the turn of a hat, you're talking to your friend about somebody else. You know what I mean? Like I work in healthcare. I worked at a pretty big medical center up here who had contracts with all the correctional facilities in the area. And so I worked with prisoners a lot. And same thing as your sister. I wouldn't want to know what they had done to be in that point, because there's a part of my brain that would judge, and I just can't help it. It's just how it's going to happen. And I like to think I'm professional enough to not let it affect how I do my job, but it would affect me on a personal level, probably how I talked or interacted with them. Mm-hmm. And so I wouldn't know. Cause you know, the key thing that you get from the Bible is you're just supposed to love people. And one of the best things that Zach always says is you're never going to argue somebody to Christ. You're never going to argue somebody into agreeing with you. Mm-hmm. But 100% of the time, you're going to argue somebody away from something, and then it would have been better just to keep your mouth shut. Mm-hmm. So it's just like every time I came across, you know, if he was an inmate, or even if it was just a person who was downright rude, or had, I worked a lot with people who had, you know, former or present history with like white supremacy and had swastikas tattooed all over them. I, you know, treat them with a person. I didn't give them my cell phone number or anything, but while I was dealing with them, you hang out with them and like, yeah, you're just a person. Very extreme ideologies, and I'm not going to agree with you on them, but it's not like I was condemning them or anything. You know what I did? I have this fun thing where I like to work God into like every conversation that I have when you're my patient.
Or just wear a shirt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or that. Like, that's the other thing. I need more like Christian tattoos. So, because people always ask about my tattoos, and I'm like, well, I got three little pigs tattooed on my forearm from me, my grandpa, and my great uncle, which is a great story, but I can't really wear Christian swag at my doctor's office. But if I get it tattooed on me, I don't think they can say anything.
What can they do?
Because you don't have to worry about doing laundry. You can wear it every day.
Yeah. That's permanent. Awesome. What is that? Did you ever read the Shel Silverstein books? They were like little poems. There was that one about like the tattoo. I think it's called Tattoo and Ruth. It was like my brother's favorite poem. This starts off with like Tattoo and Ruth tattooed me a suit. And I can't remember the rest of it. But basically the illustration is this guy who just had like a suit tattooed on him. And that's reminding me of it. And
this is gotta love Google. Let's see.
Oh, that's true.
Just pulling it up.
If it's not called Tattoo and Ruth, I'll eat my hat.
It's Tattoo Ruth. You are so good.
Oh, tattoo. Yeah. Nice.
Hat stays intact.
Let's see. This is so good. You're right. Tattoo and Ruth. Collars are choking. Pants are expensive. Jackets are itchy and hot. So Tattoo and Ruth tattooed me a suit. Now folks think I'm dressed when I'm not. That's awesome.
Great. Don't know how we got here, but that's...
I love it. So one thing I do want to kind of circle back to, though, that I think is also important, and this is something because, man, I got blasted on the post that I made about Christians needing to do better. Like, you got to love the keyboard warriors, and they were coming in hot. There was a lot of the self-righteous Christians, and then there was even some atheists that were chiming in on it. But I think what's always important, too, because you mentioned this about like how it's not our place to judge. Yes, but it is, because, you know, we still do have like you can't have. This was my problem with why I always joke and say about being a recovering Catholic, is because I felt like I was living in so much legalism that I was a Pharisee. Mm-hmm. And that's not what it's about. But you can't swing the pendulum all the way over to the grace side and just completely forget about law altogether either.
Right.
And so I think that there is a tactful way to gracefully give truth, where it's like what you were saying with that guy, like, okay, completely, like being willing to have a conversation, not to try to argue to prove that you're right, but just genuinely getting curious and having an open conversation and offer the opportunity to talk about it and talk about the truth, right? The way, you know?
Yeah.
But you can't just jump right into that, right? Because then it's like the legalism, like, oh, but I'm going to shame you for this. And because you didn't, carry ice cream in your back pocket on a Sunday, you're going to hell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're absolutely right. And I'm assuming you're probably about to say the same thing I was going to say, but like, yeah, there's a difference between passing judgment on somebody and then judging the actions of others and then, stepping in with well orchestrated correction.
Yes.
Because if I see somebody doing
beautiful,
and those are his words. I've heard him say that like a dozen times in the last week. But yeah, because like you said, there's a difference between, you know, you don't just want to judge somebody and tell them what they're doing wrong or judge them behind their back, but
pull the wood out of your eye, right? Is that not
exactly
the scripture?
Yep.
Well, and it's one thing that I heard, I don't know, I've heard it at several different ministries, but I think it rings true, is people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And once you establish that relationship at some form of a level, that's when you can bring, you know, this, hey, let's start working on this and bring some sort of corrective, you know, help into their life instead of just starting off the bat with, ha, you suck. You know, it's like, hey, let's build a, you know, some sort of relationship so I have a place to stand on as I'm telling you why you should be changing this.
Well, yeah. And it's like, you figure like the analogy, I don't know why this is what popped into my head, but like a 4-year-old, you're not going to be like, oh, hey, you're running around with a machete right now and I love you. And you just have so much energy, kiddo. No, like you're going to love them enough to be like, dude, like this isn't safe. Like we should, let's go set this machete over here for a little bit. Right.
Yeah.
Like you need to be able to have that balance with it. So it's like being able to love them to that point and then to be able to provide that correction. Also side note, because I don't want to forget this and I'm going to be super bummed if this is something already that you guys do. Like, do you guys refer to yourselves as like 2 Zacks, 1 Brain? Because that's all I keep like hearing when you said that. You're like, I know that this is what he's going to say. 2 Zacks, 1 Brain. There you go.
That's brilliant.
We might.
That needs to be incorporated.
You can Venmo me for my marketing strategy later.
I was going to say, can we steal that?
Please. No, that would be amazing. 2 Zacks, 1 Brain. I think that's awesome.
That's awesome. So with all this, how did that lead into doing, because you do like mindset transformation, life coaching, and coming, so I actually, at a small group I had this morning, I actually brought this up, because I think mindset and your thought life has such a powerful impact on everything else that goes on in your life. And, you know, to bring it to scripture, I mean, it talks about like transforming your mind, and it talks about, you know, bringing every thought captive to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Like, and I think that has such an impact on what you do, how you do it, and how the rest of your life plays out, even subconsciously. So I'm curious what your perspective on that whole doing the mindset transformation is.
Absolutely. So I'm a big believer that we can only connect the dots looking backward. And I have, especially like being like playing sports my whole life, I've been in the gym my whole life. And I've been a coach of some sort my whole life. I used to coach gymnastics. Mm. I coached competitive cheer. I coached special needs. Like, even in any role that I had throughout the many, many different jobs and professions that I had, I was always just naturally a leader. And I was really good at encouraging other people because that was always what I needed. And so it's like, if I couldn't get it, I would give secondhand joy, if you will. Like, at least I could get the joy. But going to what you said, and that's like, I almost like to treat the brain like it's a muscle, right? If you want your biceps to get stronger, you have to practice and keep repeating a motion over and over again, but then you have to create tension. You have to get a heavier load to now be able to actually build upon that muscle. So to me, that's where the brain works with like our thoughts, our belief systems, being able to take them captive and create emotional regulation. Where it's like, if you don't even know how to capture your thoughts, that's already going to be a problem, right? Because now how can you even discern what's true and what's not if you don't know how to practice and go there? And so I think that like that's where like, I hate the term life coach because I feel like anyone and everyone is becoming one now. It's like the new car salesman.
They're stealing the term to like.
But with that, it's like I think what's also so interesting about the way we work as humans, it's so normal in our society for kids to have coaches. Like, hey, I need a tutor for my kid, or I need a piano teacher to teach or coach them how to play the piano, or obvious one, sports. Why all of a sudden when we become adults, when life really gets hard, we think that we don't need coaching? Like even Tiger Woods has a coach, like you need someone to be your blind spots. And that was something that I was blessed to start experiencing when I was like 24, which also became a part of my journey, was investing in coaching. It was actually while I was even in high school, it was my cheer coach who literally pushed me in ways that like I wasn't getting in any other area, right? Because I was already doing all the things to avoid being at home. So I wasn't really being parented because I never wanted to be home. So it was like a coach that completely changed my life. And so I think that just coaching is so powerful because it's an unbiased source who is there to encourage you, to hold you accountable, to help kind of clear the space for you and keep you focused on what it is that you want. And that's what's going to be able to help create that repetition, because what we have a tendency of doing in the whirlwind of life, like we're busier than ever before. We're constantly being like compared to, or we are comparing to everybody's highlight reels of social media. Then you throw the stress of like, I need to put food on the table. I have my own aspirations. Yeah. I have these other people I need to take care of. It's hard to really make space to genuinely practice that and hold yourself accountable to do that on your own, because that's the deepest work of all, right? So having somebody there to be in the trenches with you to like call you on those thoughts, to help you start to shift those thoughts and to rewire like that new default mode of what typically would be your natural thought process of when something goes wrong or when something goes right, and to get out of bed in the morning and want to do anything.
Yeah. That's awesome. How did so read a little bit of your bio, you know, on your website and stuff. So you mentioned you had these coaches in your life. With that whole mindset thing, was that something that someone in your life kind of taught you to take hold of, or was that something that you discovered on your own going through some of these situations?
I discovered it on my own for sure. I actually know for sure. I take that back, because one, I obviously always had all these coaches because I was in all these sports. And the first coach that I ever hired, she was a mindset nutrition coach. So it was like to actually coach me through like better having a relationship with food in general. And just kind of a better relationship with myself. But even at that point, I didn't fully realize it because again, like I was already like paying to be a member of a gym and having coaches that way and like doing all that type of stuff. And then I had, randomly, this was like before ads were like a big thing on Facebook. There was an ad that randomly popped up on my Facebook page. And at this point in middle of nowhere, Ohio, definitely there wasn't like a lot of coaching going on, or life coaching per se. So I never really grasped the concept. But then this ad was about like, it was a call to book to become a coach. And like something just like drew me in. And I was like, I don't know why I'm so interested in this, but I am. I'm like, because a coach has just been a part of my identity my whole life. Like, it's free. Why not? And then that was when it all started to make sense. And I was like, dude, like I could actually go out and help people and use all of this experience to my advantage. Cause then outside of that, like I was always obsessed with how the brain worked. Like I was, I like to say I'm like a termite where I like dig into people's brains. Yeah. Like I will ask you again, I go scuba diving. I will ask you like the deepest and the most off the wall like questions. Cause I want to know what makes you tick. I want to know why you think and do things the way that you do. So when that moment kind of happened where those two things had a chance to work together, it was like, huh, okay, let's do this.
That's awesome. And so you got into that. Did that lead into the neuro-linguistic programming? Okay, so it was like a gradual, you got into the coaching, the like mindset and lifestyle coaching, and then digging into that brought you to...
So actually it was, yeah, I was going to say that the coaching, this discovery call that I did, the actual coaching program was to certify you as a life coach. And then it was also to teach you how to build and like establish and then like build and grow a coaching business. But in that, they also had tied in the NLP certification. So yeah, I had no idea what it was. And at the time, because again, like I was still getting more and more involved with my faith and my relationship with God. But at that point, this particular coaching, it was out of the UK, actually. And especially when you go deep, deep into NLP, there's more of some of the like woo-woo stuff where it's like the crystals, the chakras, the EFT, the tapping. And so I drank that Kool-Aid for a hot second, not gonna lie.
Yeah.
But like, I'm glad I did too, just to know why not to. Like, at least, again, it gives me another tool in my tool belt to know and understand those that are that. But yeah, so it just kind of naturally happened. Yeah.
So for people listening that don't know what neuro-linguistic programming is, and that's of course is definitely not me. I know what it is.
He has no idea.
I mean, come on, Zach. I thought you even looked this up. You should have this memorized. That was your homework. No, but what I like to say, like for me, it's just the tactical way of rewiring the brain, kind of how I said at the beginning, where the way that I describe it is like, and that's kind of where the whole training your brain came in, where it's like, okay, let's actually discover some clarity around your goals. Let's establish habits that are like what you're currently doing, whether you're aware of them yet or not. Let's start tapping into some of those underlying thoughts and belief systems that you aren't really aware of that's there. So let's like unpeel those layers, bring that to surface. And then I like to say this, I can't speak for all coaches, but because obviously I'm not a therapist. That's not my world. I'm not medically licensed or anything of that nature. But I always like to say that like a therapist is kind of like the why. Like, why am I this way? Or why did this all happen? How did I get here type thing?
Yeah.
But for me as a coach, I like to be like, okay, what are we going to do with that? So how are we going to bring to surface what these thought processes, these habits, these belief systems are? And then how are we going to set up mindfulness, like communication, goal setting, ways to just like actually start incorporating new behaviors to replace the old. So that's kind of the transformation.
That's super cool. I'm curious, right? Because you said that for a hot second, you went into the whole side of the like the crystals and all that stuff. But you're also faith-based. So how do and are you able to work your faith into the coaching for the like
NLP stuff? Yeah, so and that's stuff. Kind of like, where like, how does that I keep work? Saying for me and how I describe NLP and what I do, because even at the time it was interesting, like when I was doing that, I still had everything in my headspace about it being about God. So I didn't, you know, like, and then at one point, like I even kind of went to this like world where it was like, God is the universe. Universe is God. It is all. And I can manifest. I even hate that word. but like, you know, I was like using a crystal for like the transference of energy. Cause I used to be a massage therapist. So that concept I understood too. But one thing, and I don't know if you guys do this, I'm obsessed with Enneagram, and I'm an Enneagram 8, which means I am a challenger. So it's been a...
Is that like Myers-Briggs, like personality?
It's one of those type of things, yeah. Yeah. And so, and this one to me, because I've done like all of those, I'm always just geeked out on how like these all work. And I think that they're always good for like a baseline, but don't ever treat it as complete gospel, right? But the one that I'm able to really like help use to discover me Is that more of the Enneagram one? But it's like, I like to challenge everything, mm-hmm. which is why I tend to do things harder, not smarter. It's because like, even if you told me to do it, like, let me royally look like an idiot and go way harder on this than what I needed to then have you prove the point, which, and then I may or may not like be like, nah, but let me justify why you were still wrong type thing. but I'm still kind of always like challenged it where it's like, God was still like there with it. But I think part of it also was kind of like the deconstruction mm-hmm. of the Catholicism piece.
Okay.
Where it's like I was rebelling a little bit. And so I was kind of allowing myself to explore more outside of just this strict religion that I knew. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so then the more and more that I've made my way back in, I don't do crystals. I don't do chakras. To me, manifesting, again, I hate the term. Like it's even used in the Bible, but that just means that like this, I go more science-based out. I'm like, law of attraction, woo-woo route. I'm like, or it's the reticular activating system. If I tell you not to think about a spotted elephant, you're going to feel. Or if you see a red car, or we're talking about a red car, and then all of a sudden you guys leave to go to the grocery store and you see red cars everywhere, yep. right? It's because we brought attention to it. Like, it's something as simple as that. Yeah. So, like, I always try to, again, the pendulum swing. A favorite quote of mine, we need water to survive, but water can also kill yeah. you. So it's like, I do my best to try to find the happy medium. So to land the plane on all of that is that I dabbled a little bit in it, but I didn't get like crazy sucked into yeah. it. And then God was still kind of always like shining in the background throughout it. But like now it's like, I know the language mm-hmm. so I can carry on a conversation to at least again, open somebody up to hearing me out. But yeah, I definitely don't incorporate that into my practice.
Okay. Because I've always thought, you know, talking about, especially with the world getting more open to the whole realm of like mental health and stuff, like mm-hmm. you know, I believe we're three part beings, right? Body, soul, spirit. And mm-hmm. so I think it's interesting when people start trying to bring in other stuff like the crystals, the chakras. I feel like it's, they're trying to bring in the spirit, but just in a misled way, you know?
Exactly.
And so,
well, we also live in a world where everybody right now, which clearly is proving it's not working, which is why so many people are miserable, but yet we talk about self-love and mental health all the time, yeah. is that everybody's like, but I need to speak my truth. No, you don't. Because first of all, half the time you're lying to yourself. Like, it is not your truth. It is his truth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so everybody is now feeling lonelier than ever because it's like, no, but I got to worry about me. Mm-hmm. I got to focus on my self-love. I got to set my boundaries.
Yeah.
And again, there's a balance to yeah. that. But people are swinging to that the pendulum swing mm-hmm. to now it's like pantheism where it's like, because God is the universe and universe is God and I was made by God, I'm God. No, you're
yeah.
not.
Yeah.
And so again, that's it's good. I love how you said that. Like it's a misguided way. And they're like parallel.
Yeah.
Right alongside that if they just veer over to this highway and you'll be on the right one. But right now you're like, that's, yeah, don't go there.
Yeah. So, so you mentioned, right, that through all this coaching and stuff, you've had the chance or the opportunity to even speak to, you know, atheists and been able to bring them to Christ. I'm super curious, like, how did that work? How did that go? Where did that door open up? Through the coaching to be able to speak that into these people's lives?
Yeah, great question. So, and it got put on my heart back in November, and you guys are like the first people I've ever really like told about this, like other than like my close mm-hmm. people. But I got put on my heart to become a pastor.
Nice.
And that's awesome. My Catholic baggage initially was like, absolutely not. Women aren't meant to be pastors. I was like, I will pray over you all you want, but it is not my role to be at that point. Mm-hmm. And then I kind of got called out about that and really started like listening to like Pastor Rick Warren and stuff like that to like really feel like, okay, where in the Bible did it specifically say that that would be the case? But I was doing it even prior to ever considering that. So like the title is irrelevant,
yeah.
right? So kind of a couple things is like, I clearly talk about God. I clearly wear shirts that talk about it, but like in like my bio on my coaching page and everything, I don't put And I don't think I would want to put that I was a pastor mm-hmm. because I would close out the opportunity to talk to those people because they think I'm going to throw the book at
yeah.
them. Through my coaching, I want to be able to get to those people who wouldn't enter a church.
Yeah.
However, it's still not my place to judge you. You still deserve to experience happiness in your life. And if you're struggling, I want to be able to help you.
Yeah.
So for my clients who are faith-based, like we pray over our calls, we pray in, we pray out. God has brought all through, like throughout
That's
it.
Awesome.
And the one client in particular that was atheist, I didn't even mean to. I swear I didn't mean to. Anytime I did my sessions with him, I had a shirt on that had something about God. And then like, we would just like work through stuff and I would never bring it up, you know, like unless there was a question that happened, but there was one moment where something really low happened in their life mm-hmm. and they're like, Jamie, I don't know, but if there's a God, like I need him.
And you're like,
okay,
well,
let's talk about that. I'm like, yeah, but then even with that, it was still just an open conversation of asking questions to let them get curious.
Yeah.
Where it's like, if you want to talk about it and you want to know like my perspective, I'm happy to share. But I was like, otherwise, I'm just going to be here alongside of you to help ponder some questions, right?
Yeah.
Like being curious is a really, really important thing. Like otherwise, you're a fool because you're just listening to what anyone and everyone is willing to say. And so I think it's important to find things out for yourself. So that's kind of how that journey went. There was another gentleman, originally from India. So obviously that cultural difference, you know, and so amazing, amazing human. And luckily he was here local, or he is here local in Austin. And I was able to get him to come to my church.
That's awesome.
And now he volunteers at church and everything. And it's just really cool. Yeah. But it's just loving people where they are and not shying away about it, but kind of like with what you said about like just weaving him into the conversation. Mm-hmm. And then whatever God wants to do, like I even say that before every coaching call I do, my God, whatever you want to have happen, happen.
Yeah.
I have zero game plan going into any of the coaching calls that I do. I wing it, which is why I was so pumped that you guys are letting me wing it. Because look at these amazing conversations that happen when you don't carry expectations with closed fists.
And I like that. It's almost like you leave the door. I like that you leave the door open for them to ask the questions, and just from, like you said, the shirts that you wear, the stuff that you talk about, it leads them to a curiosity to discover it for themselves or to ask about it themselves, instead of being like, you have to do this. Because almost in the same way, like you said, you like to, you know, you have to try it the hard way. I feel like it's the little kid that you're like, don't touch the stove. And they have to be like, and then they learn, you know, if you tell someone, well, you have to do it this way. So many of us have that little rebellious, like they're not going to be like, well, no, I don't want to do it that way. But you leave that door open for them to get curious and ask questions. They more naturally will walk into it instead of getting argued or pushed into it.
It's like the scripture of the prodigal son, but instead of me sprinting out to them, I'm waving from the porch.
Yeah, you're like, come on in.
Yeah.
I like that.
Dinner's ready. Come on. Let's fellowship.
That's awesome.
Let's break bread.
Yeah.
Like whenever I'm like, I get, you know, 35, 40 minutes with my patients when I'm doing the testing with them. And so, you know, I'll ask about their hobbies and, you know, then they always ask me about my hobbies. Well, I have two hobbies. I podcast with my best friend who's a Christian and goes to the same church as me. And we both serve on multiple ministries at our church. So I just be like, oh, you know, I'm at church a lot. Sometimes they ask questions, sometimes they don't. Or like musicians, I'll ask them, oh, how long have you been playing music? And they'll tell me, you know, oh, play guitar. Do you play anything? Yeah, I play bass. Oh, do you play with a band? Kind of. The worship band.
Yeah.
And sometimes it goes somewhere and oftentimes it doesn't. But the times it goes somewhere, it's worth it.
Yeah.
Like you said, I don't want to be the reason that somebody else didn't come to know the Lord or know about the Lord.
Absolutely.
That's awesome.
I feel like we could easily just sit here for like 6 hours and talk to each other.
I know. I was going to say, I was like, guys, this is too good. This is too good.
I mean, I can't speak for Zach, but like I said, I always do. Two Zachs, one brain, right? I mean, I think we should definitely do more conversations with each other because this was awesome. I don't want to cut it short. If there's more, you know, you want to talk about, we definitely can. Well,
I was already thinking. So yeah, two Zachs, one brain. I was like, man.
Can you guys please? Like,
that's the next t-shirt.
I mean, already I am honored because you allowed me to be on your guys' podcast, but I have one favor, and that is for you guys to roll with that title, whether it's you use it in an intro, whatever, but it is amazing. And I think it's so appropriate. Like, I'm kind of shocked. That's why I even said it. I was like, I'm sure you guys probably have said this before, because to me it was just that obvious.
It's funny. Because we're always doing that. Like, I bet you're thinking, or he's about to say this, or he's good. And it's just.
I can see it happening. Yeah. That's what's really cool, because you guys are so engaged, but there's a certain moment where you both just pull and you look at each other at the same time. And it's like the seatbelt just connected. Yeah.
Well, and I was going to say with that, I was thinking this, like, if you're open to it, we would love to have you on for more episodes, because I've got more questions that I'm like, let's go down the fitness and the CrossFit route. Let's go down, you know, more in depth on.
Oh, you want to talk about getting fit for the cross? Listen,
hey,
that's almost as long as what the Godwin would be.
So I'm on board for more episodes. If you're open to it, we would love to have you on for more episodes. We should have a full on faith base. So some of the people I've talked to recently that listened to the podcast, some of their favorite episodes were, we had like a Q&A with our pastor. We've actually had two episodes with him do like a, you know, ask me anything question and answer with our pastor on.
That was fun.
It was fun. So I'm like, man, we could do something cool, like faith-based with that on the podcast.
It would be so fun. Yeah.
So anyways, yes, we're on the same wavelength.
I figured.
Y'all just made my day. Yes, I would be honored to do that. That would be amazing. This is, you have no idea. I feel like I don't even drink Red Bulls, but I feel like I just chugged a Red Bull because I'm going to like go sprint.
Energized.
I don't even open up my door. I'm just going to sprint right through it right now.
That's don't awesome. Do that. Don't run through your door. Please don't run through your door.
I don't want to pay for that.
Yeah, there you go.
The door should be worked. Yeah.
Right.
Well, yeah, like he said, thank you so much for taking time to do this. It was
it's been a blast.
Yeah, it's been such a blast. We look forward to hopefully many more of these episodes, because you're just a fun person, man. I tell you, this is so much fun. For people that are listening, watching, is your website the best point of contact to learn about you, social media? I'm going to put links to everything and everything in the description and stuff, but what's the best place to get in touch with you or just to learn about you?
The answer is yes.
All right.
All the beautiful.
I always tell people, I'm like cyber stalk meme. I have posted every single day on social media since January 1st of 2017.
Oh,
so
wow.
Anything and everything that you want to know about me, I'm super intentional. Mm-hmm. My Instagram is Jamie with a coach, and that is the Jamie with no eyes, J-A-Y-M-E. my website, coachjamie.com. Facebook is totally cool too. I actually also have a podcast called Make Time.
Which is a great podcast. I've listened to many episodes.
I was about to interject when he was asking me. I was like, I told him, we didn't even touch on the podcast.
No.
You're also a podcaster. So okay.
Listen, no, we are here to talk about your guys' amazing podcast, which is why I wanted to be here to have this conversation. So no, that is, you guys can stay here. That's totally cool. Because this is a really great place to be. But yeah, so any of the above is however you wanna find me. Like I said, I post daily. I'm just very big on also transparency. And mm-hmm. So sometimes like I get misconstrued a lot as a fitness coach because I post a lot of trials. Yeah. But feel free to cyber stalk. not that anybody needs approval if they want to stalk, but I'm giving you permission to like stalk as much as what you want. I have a question. Can I ask you guys a question?
Yes. So go for it. Yeah.
Okay. I always like to leave anything that I do, any conversation, I like calls to action, because I think that that's important. That's how we push ourselves to grow, and we make stuff happen, right? So my question for you guys is, after we leave here today, how are you going to go glorify God?
That's a fantastic question.
And it has to be today. I can't wait till tomorrow when it's
absolutely
church.
Not.
Oh, it has to be today. Come on. I can't hit a pause. No, I'm just playing. So it is an incredibly hard question. Because, and I'm not even going to say, I'm not even going to touch on anything of yours, but I just feel like our life's like, I try to live my lifestyle, like anything I do, I want people to observe something different about me. And don't get me wrong, I fall woefully short driving down I-87 or I-90 when people cut me off. And I've gotten a lot better about not flipping people the bird out of the window. And I just kind of like yell at them. Yeah. But for the most part, like when I'm out and around and stuff, I just want to live my life the way where if somebody who I don't know is observing my actions, they don't get something negative from it and can actually see a difference of what I'm doing compared to the person next to me.
It's a fantastic answer.
This is not like there's not one big thing I plan to go do today. But after this, my wife and I are going to look at gliders for the nursery. And you darn well better believe that if, you know, the opportunity arises to talk to somebody about something powerful for the Lord, like I'm going to take advantage of it. So that's my answer. It's better than your answer is going to be.
Guess what? I'm going to challenge that in a second. Spoiler alert, but go ahead.
Okay.
So I would say that mine is similar in that I want to try to live in a way and through my relationships with people that what I do, how I speak, how I talk glorifies the Lord. And this is actually something that I've been thinking about with my work, because now, thanks to the great state of New York and how difficult they are, I'm not in law enforcement anymore. I work in the electrical field. And so I'm doing like construction sites and stuff like that. So I want to conduct myself in a way that, similar to what you said, shows that there's something different about him than the other guys that I'm around, you know, and what is that, and try to draw people. And I've actually been able to work that into my friendships that I've built with my coworkers. So if I had to put it into something specific with how I'm going to do it today, I have a birthday party to go to this evening, and I want to...
Where?
I don't know.
Somewhere. Where you record your podcast?
Yeah, it might be where I record my podcast. But I want to conduct myself tonight at that party in a way that glorifies God and carry on in my conversations, which, granted, a lot of people there are going to be Christians because it's his wife's birthday party and there's, you know, a lot of our church friends. But I don't know. That might be, I don't know if that's a weird roundabout way or answered it or didn't answer it, but I'm interested to hear your challenge.
I love that. And that's where I think it's like super cool. Because I actually for this year, like, I don't know, it's so cheesy, but I do like the whole theme words instead of like New Year's resolutions and stuff. Mm-hmm. And so my word for this year was actually glorify. And so in anything and everything that I do, I want to make sure that I show up and I glorify him. And so thinking more even outside of the box, and it's just a way of like, whether it be crazy faith or even if it's just to give God praises, it may not have to be in something that's like, oh, because I gave a homeless man, you know, money while I was out or whatever. Like, you know, those are a lot of the obvious ones, are giving yourself and being kind to people. But like, maybe going out of your way to do something for somebody that kind of makes you feel some type of way, or like reaching out to somebody that like you kind of left on awkward terms or haven't talked to in a while, and just like being like, hey man, like haven't talked to you in a while, and I just really want you to know that I'm so grateful for your friendship, and like I would love to pray for you. Is there anything that I can be praying for you for? But just something like out of the box to be able to still like represent God, who he is, but then also just a show up of love.
That's an awesome idea.
That's a great idea.
Challenge
Let's
accepted.
Let's go. Let's go. And also, yeah. For the listeners, this challenge stands strong for you too. You're not off the hook either.
Yes. Yep.
So even though we don't know you're listening, no. God knows you were listening. The Catholic guilt for you.
Get him.
Go do it.
Who says there isn't crossover?
Also, by the way, like you guys that are like put an intro or something, like just big shout out to your wife's birthday. Like, hello. She was blessed to be born on this amazing day.
She's going to be 30 tomorrow.
But technically, so if we really want to like nerd out, like biblically speaking, like in the way the days run, doesn't it technically start like how we go day to night? It actually goes night
evening
to day.
Time.
So depending on what the period
the Jewish
would
calendar,
be, it could still count.
Yeah. And so this, when my wife turned 30 earlier this year, right, the whole thing was the like dirty 30s, and my wife was like, I don't like that. We're not gonna do that. So we came up with the thriving 30s.
Oh, did you know?
Welcome to the thriving 30s.
I dig it.
So much more fun.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yes.
I mean, I'm a year into it. It's been the best year yet. So
3 years in, and it's
been you're old.
Better than the 20s.
You're not old. You're not old.
I'm not
old. So that's why I'm gonna stand up for that, Zach.
Oh.
You're like, no.
Uh-oh.
Zach,
I'm
you
in
just
trouble.
Paused you both to lose a brain cell there. That's not a good look.
that's not good for me. Brain cells are hard to come by.
I've only got a few of them.
Amazing.
I'm just kidding.
But yes, all the links to Jamie are gonna be in the description. You know, whether you're listening to this episode when it comes out or years from now, that challenge is going to stay true no matter whenever you listen to it. So challenge yourself. Do it. Thank you all for supporting us and listening and watching. And, you know, leave a review on our podcast.
We'd
like
love feedback.
Super helpful. Yes. We got these fancy hats that people keep buying, which is awesome, and shirts. That's a great way to support us. And just share it with your friends, family, anybody. You don't even have to like them. Just share. It's going to be great.
And share Jamie's content with your friends and family. And if you're looking to get some coaching, check out our website.
Yes. So thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.